In the name of one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is what the church refers to as the Sunday closest to September 21st. Proper 20 in ordinary time. The word ordinary, as used here, comes from the ordinal numbers, numbers that rank chronologically as opposed to the cardinal numbers, which represent quantity. It's a long lesson for another day, but who cares, right? I mean, if we're ranking numbers chronologically, or you're an obsessive counter, you may be thinking like me. This is the 27th Sunday in Coronatide, 27 Sundays since we have all been able to be together, 13 Sundays until Advent, and 10 Sundays and 3 sleeps until Christmas. It can all be overwhelming. It's a stressful time, and the God of our creation knows. God is with us. Every year as we approach Proper 20, we're bidding farewell to the lazy days of summer, returning from summers away at refreshing holiday locations, ramping up for the program year, prepping lesson plans, cleaning out broken crayons and dried up clay, making ready for new. Every year we hear the words of the collect of the day. Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly. And even now, while we are placed among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those that shall endure. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious. Love things heavenly, placed among things that are passing away. Never have these words struck me like they do today. And they strike me every year, but not like today. Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious. Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious. I pray you, Lord, take my anxiety from me. Wipe it away. I do not want it. Perhaps I've spent too much time with this collect. The meaning has consumed me. Is it really about what I do not want? Is it the anxiety I do not want? Is it that I want my anxiety ripped from me? What am I if I do not have my anxiety? Or is it about something that I do want, that I do not feel I have? Is this less about the things that really make me anxious and more about the one thing I so deeply desire? Grant me, Lord, the control that I desire, and please make things stop changing. I'm struggling with so much that is changing. It just seems too much. You know, we can pray that God will take away our anxiety, to put an end to what fills our sleepless nights with the what-ifs that dance upon our heads. But still, there remains a part of the collect, a part of the prayer about changing our own behaviors. Because we all have some level of anxiety developed over time. Anxiety isn't caused by a single factor, and it doesn't happen immediately. But it's a combination of things. Family history of mental health needs, personality traits, being a perfectionist, one who is easily flustered, one who wants to control everything. You top that with any ongoing stressful events, work stress, job change, unemployment, changes in living arrangements, major emotional shock or trauma, verbal abuse, sexual or physical or emotional abuse, death of a loved one, relationship problems. And then you add on personal health struggles, diagnoses of an illness, a pandemic, the election. Is it any wonder? Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious. The collect of the day reminds me of another prayer, at least part of which you may be familiar, depending on the circles you travel. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And the rest of the prayer, the less known part, living one day at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Living with, getting through, and putting an end to our anxiety is about more than prayer. It's about making decisions and behavioral changes as well. It's about making deliberate choices to stop, to rest, not necessarily to quit, but certainly to stop and rest as much as we are able. All of those behaviors that just exacerbate whatever else we're experiencing. Can we turn off the television? Can we step away from the Zooms? Can we stop scrolling through the Facebook news feed? Stop reading the tweeties on Twitter and the Insties and the Snappies and the TikToks? Can we stop focusing on those things which we cannot change and have the courage to change the things we can? And the wisdom to know the difference. Can we, in the midst of things that are passing away, turn our focus to things heavenly? Well, for those of us who are suffering or have suffered from the afflictions of anxiety and isolation and loneliness that have accompanied them, it's a stressful time. And the God of our salvation knows Jesus is with us. As the words to the children's song go, little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. It's okay. I think it's even preferred to acknowledge that we are weak, that we are damaged, that in some ways this pandemic has broken us or broken us more. Paul wrote about weakness in all of his letters. He wrote that this is where we discover the glory, the power, and the grace of God. God is upside down to our sensibilities, or better said, we are upside down to God's. But this is how God works. The broken and damaged people in Scripture, they seem to be the ones whom God did the greatest things. Hannah experienced bitterness of her soul over infertility in a broken domestic situation. Elijah felt so beaten down by ministry that he asked God to take his life. And David repeatedly asked his own soul why it was so downcast. Each of these biblical saints, in his or her own way, each was empowered by God to change the world, not in spite of the affliction, but because of it and through it. All of them have been God's chosen instruments for bringing truth and grace and hope into the world. This is how God works. There's no shame in suffering. There's no shame in anxiety or any affliction. In fact, our afflictions may be the key to our fruitfulness. Because damage does not mean ineffective. Damage doesn't mean done. And I feel that in some ways we are living in a time of great hope and great possibilities for blessing. Great timing for God's foolishness to shine through and be displayed in our lives, that foolish love that God calls us to. And sometimes we may discover in the end that our afflictions had greater effect in people's lives than we could have ever imagined. Certainly more than what we thought were our greatest gifts and our greatest strengths. Perhaps, in fact, they are invitations to rest. I can tell you from experience, and many of us most likely can, when we are laid bare and flat, and there's nothing we can do except beg for help, Jesus often meets us right there. Right where we are, and he invites the weary and the heavy laden to come to him and to find rest. Leonard Cohen, in his song Anthem, sings about brokenness and imperfection. It's one of my favorites, and I find myself returning to it again and again. He writes this: "Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in." It is in the brokenness of our beings that Jesus finds a way into those places where others dare not go. Soren Kierkegaard said, "The thorn in the foot enabled him to spring higher than anyone with sound feet." And the Apostle Paul said something similar about the thorn in his flesh. He said it kept him from being cocky, kept him humble, kept him fit for God and fit for the people whom God had called him to love and serve. There is glory in weakness, and there is control in our acknowledgement. There have been and continue to be moments during this time for which I'm strangely thankful that I feel gratitude and peace. Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly. And even now, while we are placed among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those that shall endure. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.